going on, everyone? Welcome to the Davidson Hang podcast, where I get to interview amazing people and help share their wisdom with the world. Let me know your takeaways and feel free to connect with the guests. I'm aiming to build a community around coaching, self-development, leadership, where people are not afraid to be their most authentic versions of themselves. You can find us on video by searching the Davidson Hang podcast on YouTube. Welcome and enjoy the ride. Hey, what's going on, everyone? I'm really, really excited to have Scott Ingram here, who was the guy who inspired me to start doing my own sales podcast. And since then, I've released over 30 different episodes. And I still remember that one, the first time I reached out to him on the phone, I was like, oh my God, I'm actually on the phone with Scott. And, you know, he inspired me. And I've listened to probably like at least 50 of your episodes, like of your show. And I've been to your Sales Success Summit and just been just blown away by the quality. And I feel like every episode is just getting better. And it like the one with Sarah was amazing. The one with Andrew is amazing. Like just nonstop awesome content. But yeah, we'd love to introduce you, Scott, who has a podcast called The Sales Success Stories. And he also hosts a yearly summit full of top 1% sales performers. And you're also like, are you like a ultra marathon runner or something like that? Dude.
Well, I'm a wannabe triathlete, so and I'm just doing sprint triathlons typically. But now all the pools and my favorite places to swim are closed right now, so I'm not in the shape that I once was. So hopefully, I get to start ramping that back up over the summer.
Right, but and then the interesting is you're also an individual contributor, right? You're a quota carrying salesperson in addition to all these cool side projects that you're doing.
Yeah, it's really the other way around. I mean, the you know, carrying the bag and taking care of my clients is the first thing, and then I do all this other madness on the side and after hours. But I love doing it. It's a labor of love for sure.
Yeah, and I'm sure it doesn't hurt your sales progress, right? Because you're learning from the best of anything. It just amplifies your success.
Oh, 100%. I mean, when I started the show, you know, it's been over 3.5 years at this point. I wasn't the top performer in my own company, right? And as you know, I mean, everybody I talk to is a number one, or I jokingly will say top 1% individual contributor. Not jokingly, you know, it's really, if you're number two on a team of 300, that's good enough for me. And it, you know, just surrounding myself with all of those people and creating mentoring type relationships out of those what have started as podcast interviews and turn into follow-up conversations, people I can ask questions of, my own results have dramatically improved. It's been fun to watch. I mean, it's funny. I just did we don't do them as regularly as we probably should, but I did a quarterly review with my boss, and you know, he was just kind of sharing his feedback, and he said, "Man, this stuff is clearly wearing off on you." And we've worked together. This is the third company we've worked at together. So he's seen me and watched me develop over time, and it makes a difference.
Yeah, it was awesome, like getting to meet him too. I sat next to him at the barbecue at the Salt Lick.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can tell he was very proud of you. Like he was like very happy to like just see your success. And like, it seems like you guys have a really good relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I joke, I cheated because I recruited him to be my boss. So there was a very intentional choice. My previous boss moved on and we were looking to fill that role. And it was just kind of a no brainer, right? He had the right skill set that we needed in that role and that the rest of the team needed. And so it was just a really fun opportunity to put that into play because there's so much. I mean, your direct manager, I believe, has a really important contribution to your success. I haven't dug into it totally specifically, but I'm convinced, I don't think that I have talked to a single top performer who is successful despite their boss. You know, you can't do and be great at all the hard work that goes into being great at sales if you're also having to overcome a difficult relationship with your leader. It's not a thing. You really need a champion in that role and somebody that's going to help you be successful.
Yeah, that's a good point. I do think that the manager is, it's sort of just like, you know, it's like hiring an executive coach. Like it can mean a world of difference for you, because I feel like there's so many internal stuff that you have to do. I feel like every great salesperson says the internal battles are sometimes even harder than the external battles.
For sure. And I think, you know, the bigger, the more complex the deals, the more people you have to bring into those things. Absolutely. I mean, especially when you think about the whale hunters that I've interviewed that are closing 7, even 8-figure deals.
Yeah.
That's at least half the battle, is just making sure that you've got things lined up internally. And also the bigger the company, right? When you're talking to folks that are at Microsoft and Oracle and, you know, that scale of organization where we're talking about hundreds of thousands of employees and just lots of bureaucracy, it's a big part of the job.
Yeah. So it seems like you've been at mostly MarTech companies.
Yeah, really the last 10 years has really been almost entirely in the marketing technology space, you know, predominantly kind of in the SaaS technology side. And then here the last 4 years working for my favorite implementation systems integrator client or partner. So, you know, I've been in the professional services space with them for the last 4 years, which is really interesting, right? Because there's so much more. We can do anything. Right. It really just comes down to the talent that of the people on my team. And I've got just an incredible team that is essentially my product. They are my solution. Whereas when you're selling a product, the product only does what the product does. So it's really interesting to be in such a space where I can get really, really creative and really dig in with the clients, and we can figure stuff out and figure out how to make the technology do what they want it to do, you know, leveraging the skill set of the people.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I do think because of COVID, we really see the technology companies are booming now, right? I don't know if for you, but I feel like because of what's going on, if anything, LinkedIn's busier than ever. We just had an all hands, and LinkedIn's data, just usage and everything from Sales Navigator, from LinkedIn Learning, and it's just booming, right? So it's interesting to see how like technology is such a huge factor in our lives now with everything, especially with what's going on right now.
Yeah, well, I think it depends on what the technology is, right? So a space that you're in or Zoom or any of the, like anything that is enabling and empowering employees, especially as we all work from home. I mean, I've been working from home for 10 years, but this is just a totally different deal. Where I am seeing folks struggle is, you know, if you're selling a technology platform, that's just been a harder deal at this particular point in time, because it, you know, it's a big investment. It's something that we're going to have to take on. Whereas we're doing great because from a services standpoint, the work continues to need to be done.
Right.
And we've got to communicate. I mean, a lot of my clients are communicating more than they've ever communicated from a marketing perspective and just reaching out to their clients, given all that's going on and wanting to keep people in the loop and in what's important as we work through all of this. So it certainly depends. Some people are doing great. Some people are really struggling. You know, lots of people are getting laid off. So, I mean, it certainly changes your perspective in a lot of ways where, you know, I'm just grateful to have a great job and a great company that cares about its people. And, you know, I'm going to be able to continue to feed my family and everything else. I mean, I feel for folks that through no fault of their own were just caught in the wrong spot and, you know, or have found themselves without a job in a time where it's pretty tough to go find a new one. So, you know, it certainly makes you grateful for what you got.
Yeah. Wanted to pivot, and I'm really curious, actually. So I really enjoyed the time in Austin. It was my first time in Austin, actually, going to the Sales Success Summit. And honestly, like, I had no expectations. I didn't even try to look up to see like what I wanted to do. And it really was a lot different than what I thought it would be. Like, it's a booming town. I feel like there's a lot of people moving in, you know, it's growing quickly. There was a lot of real estate. There was a downtown with a bunch of high rises. And I was like, wow, like, this is not what I expected. But I was curious about, like, what are some of the takeaways from the last Sales Success Summit versus the first one? It seemed like, you know, this, everyone becomes bigger and bigger every year. But what are some of the takeaways that you've learned just from going through that whole process?
Yeah, you know, it is interesting. And I think that, I mean, to your point, I've been in Austin now for 16 years and I'm watching the city. I think it's almost done double for the second time since I've been here. I mean, the growth has been extraordinary. And, you know, the summit has grown at an extraordinary rate too. I mean, the first year we had just over 40 people. And, you know, one of the things that I was a little bit worried about was, you know, here I am bringing together, and everybody that's on that stage, as you know, Davidson, are folks that have been on my podcast, and the rule for the podcast is that they have to be number one top performer level folks. And I was a little bit nervous about the potential for just this massive ratcheting up of egos. I thought, man, I am putting some... It's just some incredible people in a room together. And if we get into a place where we feel like we need to one-up each other, like this could get completely out of control. And what surprised me was it went completely the other direction. Yeah. Everybody was so humble. And I think what happened was folks came in there going, you know, I know that in my company, I'm the best one there, but I'm not quite sure if I'm the best one in this room. Mm-hmm. And everybody really came from this place of, what can I learn from the other people that are here? And so again, just the level of humility was so crazy. And obviously, when you have just over 40 people, it was super intimate. I mean, we all knew each other by the end. So last year's event, when we had just over 100 people, so a little more than double in size, actually came pretty close to tripling the size, that I still thought a little bit about the ego thing. And I'm convinced that's never going to be an issue. It really is. What's funny to me is when I talk to the folks that I interview and I tell them about the summit, they are, without my even asking, they're the easiest sale when it comes to buying a ticket there ever is. And ironically, they're the people that need it the least. Right? You're already at the top of your game. Why are you going to invest your time and money to go to a summit to learn how to improve your skill set? But I think that's exactly why they're at the top. Right. They've taken their entire career, and that has always been their approach, where I'm going to invest in myself. I always want to get better. You know, we had a lot of conversations about steel sharpened steel. And, you know, when you bring the best together, the way that we're able to learn from each other just continues to escalate. And so it was, even though it was larger, in some ways, it felt even more intimate. And I think a big part of that was because there was a pretty large group of people that got together in a shared Airbnb like compound. There was a whole bunch of people in this space. And so even though it was just a 2-day event, I think they probably slept a total of 6 hours across those 2 days. And they just, you know, they were out at all hours and having a ton of fun. But it's that bonding experience, and it's something that I think about a lot. You know, when you think about an event, most people predominantly think about the content. And the content's important, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's certainly a big thing that we emphasize, and we try to bring together just some extraordinary content that you can't find anywhere else. But I think what's so much more important is the connections and the experience, right? And so that's why I'm so intentional about the way that I build that event, so that we're really having this great shared experience. And there's a lot of conversations that are going to lead to something that's really lasting and really meaningful. And that's why I talk about it's really about this sales success community. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if you think about the half-life of a conference, and how quickly it wears off. You know, typically you go and you're all excited, and a week later, you're back to doing the things that you're doing. Whereas this particular event, there's conversations that are continuing to this day. And I'm also pretty intentional about that, where we still bring people together in calls at least once a month. And those are just the ones that I'm hosting. I know there's a whole bunch of other conversations and book clubs and all kinds of other things that have been formed through that. And to me, that's what makes all the difference. You know, it's taking that content, but taking it to the next level and actually having a relationship with the person who presented it, and who's kind of helping you develop in different ways. And everybody is just so extraordinarily accessible. You know, again, you'd think I could have a giant ego and I could totally wall myself off and I have all the secrets, but it's totally the opposite. It's really this, I'm here because I had a lot of people who helped me get here, and now it's time to pay it forward and give back.
Yeah. And you know, what's interesting, actually, it just clicked. So Jack Wilson actually became a client of mine. So I, you know,
awesome.
Paid for it itself already, you know, just way more than that. Just right. And then I just made that connection. I was like, oh yeah, we met each other at your conference actually. And he reached out and then, you know, the easiest sales process, I
right. I mean, talk to me about, I'd love to hear kind of the before and after in terms of, I mean, you must have had some type of expectation going in. So what did you think it was going to be? And then what was it really?
So it was cool because I got to kill two birds with one stone, because a lot of my friends ended up moving to Austin. So it was great because I was like, I've been meaning to go to Austin. Like Tim Ferriss talks about it. Like Ryan Holiday talks about it. Everyone talks about it. So I was like, all right, this would be cool. And, you know, we were on the phone that one day and I was just like, all right, I'm doing this. Let's do this. So I was really excited to meet, like, Jack Nicholson was with Jacqueline, was someone that I was like really excited. Like there were certain people that, like, I remember listening to their episodes and I was like, oh my God, one day, like, I have to meet these people. So there were certain people that I was like, I really want to meet them. And it was really cool. Cause I, you know, like, Kyle Gutzler was one that I was like, oh, I really want to meet Kyle.
Yeah.
That, like, for me, like, that was like some of the reasons why. And then when I got there, I guess I was blown away by just like the culture of Austin and how you were able to incorporate, like, it wasn't just like a sales conference, right? It was like, hey, like, get to experience Austin in its true form, the essence of Austin. So I felt like I learned a lot about just, you know, I had a lot of barbecue. I had, you know, a lot of live music, a lot of like the bar scene. So it was cool. You know, like the venue was nice. Like I think everything was just like very thoughtful. So I think that was cool. And then, like you said, everyone was super humble. Like you would never know, like these, everyone there, you know, was like the top rep, right? But you would never know because everyone acted like they were just new to sales, right? It was like an interesting beginner's mindset.
Totally.
Started digging deeper into like the president's clubs and the awards. You're like, wait a second, like this guy is like, you know, it's like, it blows my mind sometimes, you know, because you would never think, because everyone's super humble. But I think to your point, like, I think that's why they're so successful, why everyone is so successful, right? So I thought that was nice. And so I think that was cool. And to your point, like I still keep in, like the community still lives on, right? There's like a lot of the stuff I post, like everyone's like very supportive. And anytime I have a quick question or a quick comment, I'll just shoot over a message. Oh, you know, it's something I noticed that's interesting. All the people that go to the conference I've noticed have transitioned to different jobs. Like I'm not sure if there's a correlation. Maybe, you know, you've looked into this, but it seemed like every single person at that conference now has a different role. Like a lot of them.
There's been some, you know, I think this last year in particular, and as you know, I mean, it was, we spent a good half day of just the content talking about what I don't think we talk about enough, right? Like, how do you intentionally manage your sales career? Or what should that look like? What's the right path for you? How do you make those decisions? How do you get into the right situation that's going to help you really grow? I think that was part of it. I think Jack Wilson's presentation and his talking about Ikigai was another, like, that was really pivotal for a lot of people, to where it just, had had folks rethinking their situations and what they wanted to do with their professional lives and who they wanted to serve. So yeah, there definitely have been a few changes around that. And again, I think it's just a level of awareness and people really figuring out, you know, too much in our careers, we end up on kind of these accidental paths. And when you take a step back to sort of think about that and go, wait a minute, okay, this is where I ended up. Is this still where I really want to be, where I could be making the most difference and continuing to grow the way that I want to grow and to develop into the places that I want to be and the experiences I want to have. So I think it definitely was a trigger for a lot of folks.
Yeah. And that's a good point too, because I do think being like an intentional IC, like a lot of these conversations that we've had, you know, not a lot of people really think about those things, right? It's like go through the motions and it's like, oh, I have to become a manager. That's just what people do, right? But there's very little conversations about actually you can, and if anything, you can make more money being an intentional IC, right? If that's what you care about, right?
Like, exactly.
Like I'm sure he could be a great manager, but I could see him as just always being an intentional IC, right? And he has multiple houses. You know, he goes to Aspen. Like he lives a great life, right? But he also is able to impact like the 500 other salespeople, you know, just by being an intentional IC. If anything, he's impacting more people, right? Just by showing what's possible and, you know, just like how he does everything. So it definitely did make me think a lot about a lot of different things that, you know, and even like meeting Dale Dupree and, you know, like, it's like, oh, like there's another path that I've never even thought about. Right. So,
yeah, definitely. Well, and, you know, I think the doors that have opened around Jack Wilson, I mean, Jack was a very high performing individual contributor, joined this company, started building a sales team, and now he's selling franchises and putting people in positions where, hey, you know what, you could actually take the skill set that you have and own the whole thing. And not only do you, you know, this, it changes the financial game, right? Because now you don't close a deal and get paid that commission that one time. Mm-hmm. You get all of the profit from that deal and you just increase the valuation of your business by some multiple, right? So I think it's definitely a fascinating thing. And it's why I almost insist, I haven't made it a rule, but I really think that people should pay for the Summit experience themselves. I kind of don't like it when companies are paying for it, because I feel like you've got to have your own skin in the game, right? You've got to invest in that for yourself and then have no baggage about what that outcome is, right? Like, this is really for you. This is about your future, not what that means within the context of a particular company that you're working for today.
That's a good point, because I do think, you know, I won't be specific with this, but I do think a lot of people that did pay for it out of their own pocket seemed like they were much more invested in the whole experience versus, you know, some organizations that had a lot more people that it didn't seem like they were as in it, you know, just like objectively, looking at it.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. A little bit ago, somebody reached out to me and they said, hey, you know, Scott, we want to put this in our corporate program. We want this to be an approved event. You know, let's kind of figure out because they needed sort of a set price on it and things. And I was like, wait, how many people are we talking about? And it was, now I don't remember because it's been a while. It was a big number. It was like, well, it's really hard to tell. We won't know for sure, but it could be anywhere from 35 to 70 people. Or, I mean, it was something outrageous. I'm like, look, I'm capping the event at 200 people this year. I'm like, I started to kind of survey folks that had been there. And I just asked, how many people is too many from the same company? Because one of the things, and I know we can actually transition this, because to me, diversity of thought is really, really important. And where I ultimately came to, I can't remember what the total number, it was either 5% or 10%. I'm like, absolute maximum. And I don't think it was 10%, because that would be 20 people. I think I said, look, 10 people is the most we're going to take from any one company, because it's, I don't want it to be the XYZ company sales summit. Right. If you want to do that, we'll build you that. We can figure that out on the side. But this really, the power in this is that we're all coming from different places, from different industries, from different companies, from different size of sales and different styles of sales. And it's bringing that all together that makes this so powerful. It wouldn't be like that if 30% of the audience all was running the same process and was thinking the same way.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's another big takeaway I've gotten from your podcast as well. When you have like Sarah's conversation, like, you know, I know like a lot of the conversation ended up being not about sales, but it was great because like the passion that she had and this about the diversity of sales folks, I was like, oh my God, like this is like genius, you know? And it's like,
yeah.
People don't really have these conversations. So when people talk about diversity of not only, you know, it makes you think a lot, right? Because, you know, I think like the traditional, a lot of like, even like, there's not a lot of Asians in sales, right? So whenever mm-hmm. I see an Asian, like when I heard Trung's interview, like that resonated with me a lot more, right? But then I'm sure there's been thousands of people have listened to Trung's interview that from your podcast, and that now they're that much more motivated, right? They're like, I can be a top sales rep, because you don't really see it too often. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and what I see, you know, when I look at guys like Eddie and guys like Trung, it's sort of that immigrant chip on your shoulder. Those are guys that freaking crush it. They, you know, they know what it means
yeah.
for their parents to have sacrificed and to have been just outright poor. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up middle class, happy. Like I don't have enough chips on my shoulder to be like insanely great. You know, it's amazing how common that is. And you've got to capture that. They all bring something that you just can't find. Like it's so hard to develop that mindset when you're just in this happy, comfortable place your entire life.
Yeah, I can totally relate. Yesterday, I was just on the phone with my mom, and her English isn't good. You know, she was a refugee from Vietnam, and I was helping her, like, even just fill out like disability forms and all that, right? So I do think one of the competitive edges I have is because like most of my peers at LinkedIn come from, you know, similar to you, right? Middle class, and they're sometimes like their parents have been in professional sales and stuff like that. And then, you know, like, you know, my mom's a manicurist, and you know, it's just a very interesting diversity. But it's cool that, you know, when people do celebrate that, and when companies do celebrate that, I feel like that's when you see the most success, because there's so many different opinions and ideas, and it's not just like, oh, you know, let's do like a golf tournament. Like one of the companies that I was working at, you know, there wasn't as much diversity. And I personally didn't really enjoy that because, you know, I felt like I was like, all my ideas were very radical versus at mm-hmm. LinkedIn, where, you know, we try to be 50% women in sales, 50% leadership. And, you know, it's a much different conversation that we're having.
Yeah. And you know, what I've learned about that is you really have to work at it. There's a lot of, and I see this all over the place. It's a topic that I don't think we talk about enough, but it's this, it's the imposter syndrome stuff. It's, you know, who am I to do this? And I think that the imposter syndrome is even stronger among women, among people of color, and you've got to pull it out. You know, the last four interviews that I've done on the Sales Success Stories podcast have all been with women. Yeah. I had to bust my butt to make that happen, because white dudes come to me all the time wanting to be on my show.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's not a problem. I have an endless group. I have an endless pipeline of top performing white guys that want to be on the podcast, but I really have to seek out the top performing women. What's funny is I think that they occur in higher percentages. I think you find these folks at the top more often, but again, it's the imposter syndrome that comes in, and they don't seek out the spotlight as much or at all. And again, it comes back to, who am I? I'm not doing anything special. I mean, it's funny. It's maybe even a little bit more universal than that, because I'll reach out to a lot of folks. There were people at the summit. And again, it just goes back to the top people just gravitate towards this. There were people who attended the summit. I didn't know they were the top performer in their company. They were just attendees like everybody else. And people had to out them. Like, they wouldn't even out themselves. I've got people dragging them to me and saying, this guy, did you know? This guy's the best. And they're like, yeah, but I'm not doing anything special. There's nothing special about my story. I'm like, are you kidding me? Let me get you a microphone. I will find what is going on there that's special. Because when you're so close to it, when you're actually living it, it doesn't feel different. You know, the things that you're great at, and a lot of times like our strengths in particular, which is something that I have really found to be probably the differentiator. I mean, stylistically, these folks are all over the place. But you know what they figured out? They have figured out how to be the best versions of themselves and how to leverage the things that they're really great at. But oftentimes, the things that are our strengths, the things that we are really great at, come easy to us. We don't have to work at them. We think that everybody has that experience, right? And so it's really finding those things that you don't think are magical that you do, but at the end of the day, end up being your superpower, even though it's easy for you.
Yeah, that's a really deep conversation, actually. And that's something that I'm starting to notice with a lot of these top people at LinkedIn that I've been interviewing, because I'm interviewing like the top person from like, you know, the sales solutions, which is SalesNav, and then like, Talent Solutions and all the different ones. And I do notice that they do like double down on their strengths. Like they're very aware of their strengths and they're not afraid to leverage it, you know, and they're like unapologetically like just themselves, right?
Yeah.
Like Andy, who he was the number one AE before he got promoted to mid-market AE. And the one thing that he said that resonated with me was like, he's like, I'm really goofy and I'm really silly. And I'm not afraid to order that like girly margarita drink, you know, of anything, fruity drinks, because they taste good.
And right, right.
He was so proud of it. He's like, but that makes me memorable, you know, because, and then the other day we all went out for a team drink because I took over his book because he got promoted. And they're like, Davidson, like that's an Andy drink that you just ordered, right? So everyone, it's like he owns it. So
right, it's a good, right. Hmm.
Yeah. Wow. So I'm very, so, oh, you know what's interesting as well? I've, out of all the podcasts of yours that I've listened to, like the women ones were actually like some of the most memorable ones, right? Like
yeah.
Nicholson, like I was like, man, I'll always remember that episode. You know, yeah. So it's interesting how,
And that was early on, man. You're like a true fan, original. She must have been like the 8th or the 10th. I mean, maybe even earlier than that. She was on the very, very early days of the show.
Yeah, actually. So let's talk about that. Actually, what kind of gave you the genesis of starting this?
Really, it was, I have always been a student of sales, right? I've always wanted to get better. Before I started the show, I'd never been the number one top performer, but it was something that I aspired to. And I always believe that there's a higher level of performance, right? There's always better. And I looked at all of the sales books that I'd been reading. And I was like, wait a minute, you know what? All these people that are writing these books, on average, they haven't had a quota in decades.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, this doesn't make any sense, because the world is such a different place now. You know, we don't have the Rolodex and a fax machine and two channels. And I wanted to know, what are the people who are doing the very best right now? What are they doing? How are they finding success? I wanted to get it directly. And the other part of that was also, how do they assimilate all of this knowledge? Because I'm sure they've read a lot of the same books that I have. But you can't do everything. You know, you really have to sort of pick and choose and develop your own process and your own style and all of these things. So I wanted to understand, okay, what have been the most impactful inputs for you, right? What are the books that have driven your thinking and your style, and do you subscribe to a particular philosophy, and really understanding that, and then within that construct, wanting to know just how are you managing your day? What are you choosing to do? What is your process? You know, how the heck are you doing it? It really just came down to that. And I felt like that was missing. That voice, that example from somebody who's at the top of their game right now in today's environment was just wasn't represented. And what's really fascinating now, and I thought about this to some degree really early on, I never thought that the world would change quite this dramatically. But I knew that, hey, at some point, there's going to be another recession and we're going to have a downturn. And the things that we did and the strategies that we used in a bull market, those might change. And the beauty of this model is it instantly adapts. You know, I now I'm going to seek out people who, while we're under house arrest, who is finding the most success? And what are you doing right now in this totally different environment where, Davidson, I don't know about you, I used to travel between 20 and 40% of the time. I haven't been on a plane in over a month. And in fact, I was talking with one of my executive sponsors today. We're just trying to think about, like, what does the future look like? Do we even let salespeople come in our building? Or does that represent a liability? Do you want some, how do I say this? I've got a borderline funny thing floating around in my head. I don't know if I can say it right, but I'm like a geographic whore. No, that's not right. But it's like I'm spreading stuff around. I used to travel all over the place. Do you really want a guy that's been in a whole bunch of different airports and in a bunch of different restaurants and a bunch of different companies bringing all that into your office and introducing it to your team? We're going to have to rethink a whole bunch of stuff. So again, I think we just have to be mindful of, okay, the world's a little bit different now, and you know we're going to have to adapt. So who's adapting the best? Who's doing stuff that's working in this market? And again, I think your insights are less helpful if you haven't had your own quota and you haven't been selling in this, in an environment like this. And the reality is nobody has sold in an environment like this until we did it, until we're doing it right now.
Yeah. And you know what I really enjoy about your podcast, and I still think there's not enough like podcasts out there, is like, I feel like you have a lot more like long form, mm-hmm. like you go much deeper. Like you get into the nitty gritty. I feel like a lot of these other podcasts, it's like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know, like I feel like, yeah. It's not deep enough where you truly get to go down to like the psychology and the mindset. I feel like a lot of it is like just very, so I think that's, and then I know, you know, you have your full-time quota, right? But I feel like every time I do listen to like an episode, I'm always like, yes, I crush it like the next day or two, right? You notice like it works, but, and then actually that's why I started doing my own podcast. Cause I'm like, well, I also have the need to, you know, and I was lucky that I've worked at so many good companies like LinkedIn, where there's all these amazing people out there. But I was always curious. And then I would always think to myself like, man, I wish I like recorded this, because I think a lot of people would benefit from this. And I was always curious to me that how come no one else is as curious as I am? Like I was always the only one that reached out to them. They're like, I'm like, yeah, you probably get reached out all the time. And they're like, actually, like, no, like,
right. That's the secret. That's it. So everybody has like this thought that, oh, because this person has experienced this level of success, everybody's reaching out to them. And the reality is, because everybody thinks that, nobody reaches out to them. It's so weird. It's so backwards.
It is weird. And, you know, I think that that's awesome. And I think maybe it was the time when, So how did you start to promote your podcast? Because I think yours just showed up on my newsfeed. Like, I don't even know how I came across it.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't remember that much from kind of the early day promotions. I mean, it was really just, it's kind of hand-to-hand combat. You know, I'm one where because I've sold to marketers for the last 10 years, I think through a whole lot of empathy, I've developed some okay marketing skills, but I'm a much better sales guy. And I find that anything that I really try and do in mass doesn't work nearly as well as I just need to have a conversation with somebody. And so I think a lot of the spread was just through my network and the people that I knew, and just sharing what it was that I was doing, and it was good enough and valuable enough to them that they then told somebody else, or then they'd go share it. And then at some level, the algorithms essentially start to pick up on that. So, you know, to this, it's interesting, the different algorithms. So I came to, in the scheme of things, kind of came to the podcasting world late. I mean, again, they'd been around a while. I actually keep a list of every active sales podcast I can find. And I started that shortly after I started Sales Success Stories. So I started Sales Success Stories, I'm going to mess up the years here, but I feel like it was maybe October of 2016, 2017. And the beginning of the next year, I started a list and I started tracking every active sales podcast I can find. My definition of active is they've posted a new episode in the last 3 months. And when I first built that list, I want to say it was pretty close to 100 shows. Now, 2.5, 3 years later, that list is over 200 shows. I think it's actually growing a lot. I need to do an update here in the not too distant future, because I think there's a lot of new shows that have emerged from the pandemic lockdown. But so the point of all that is, it was a little bit hard to get that show found on Apple Podcasts because their algorithm really seemed to weigh pretty heavily towards older shows. Now, where I've done extraordinarily well is on Spotify. If you go into Spotify and search for sales, both of my shows are, depending on sort of your region, where you are in the world, but from what I've seen, both shows are typically in the top 5 or 6 of all 200 plus active sales podcasts. So then it starts to feed on itself. Right? Because it's popular, when people search for it, they find it more easily. And so now I'm just sort of benefiting from the flywheel and the momentum that it's started to create. And I've been doing this very consistently for a pretty good stretch of time at this point. And I mean, we didn't even talk about the other show I mentioned. There's two. I mean, Daily Sales Tips came out of, I realized the two best things about Sales Success Stories were also the two worst things about it. So one was my criteria is ridiculous. And I was starting to get approached by folks who, and again, it sounds like I talk bad about them. I don't mean to downplay the service that they're doing. You know, the folks that are writing the traditional sales books. I'd get approached by people who I knew this book is going to be, if not the sales book this year, it's going to be in the top three. And they'd want to come onto the podcast. I'm like, yeah, dude, you don't have a quota. You're not number one. You're not coming on the show. And that felt awkward. And then the other thing is, to your point, I love the deep dive. I mean, that conversation with Sarah Brazier was 2 hours and 2 minutes. It was super deep. But if you don't know what you're getting into, that's insanely intimidating. You know, you pull up the podcast feed and there's nothing on there that's less than an hour.
Yeah.
That's insane. So I literally created the exact opposite show where I could, again, get to more diversity of thought and bring more people into that, you know, look, if you've got something that is going to be relevant and valuable to the B2B sales community, bring it on. And then let's go really short. So if the average episode on Sales Success Stories is 75 minutes, my initial goal when I was thinking about Daily Sales Tips is I wanted every episode to be 10 minutes or less and never more than an hour a week. So that if you just came in once a week, you could listen for an hour and get through everything in sort of a short binge. We've actually done way better than that. I think my average episode on that show is less than 5 minutes. So again, short, quick, lots of different people, lots of different ideas. And you know, from a marketing perspective, it's a gateway drug, right? Because I'm sharing clips and little teasers of the deep dive stuff. And hopefully that gets people interested enough to go, hey, you know what? These couple of things that Scott shared from Sarah's episode is enough for me to go back and want to listen to the whole freaking 2 hours and get all the context.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, and like even with Sarah's episode, I sent it to like every SDR I knew, you know, like my friends, all my partners at LinkedIn. And I've just been sharing that episode everywhere. It's a really good episode.
Yeah. Well, thank you for doing that. I mean, that's why the podcast audience has grown as much as it has, because we've been able to really flush out some super, super valuable content, just some real deep stories. And then folks have realized, hey, more people need to know about this. And they've been generous and they've shared it, which has been amazing.
Yeah. So I'm curious as to, I mean, you're doing a lot of things. Like, is podcasting like profitable? In and of itself,
no. The best I've really done, I mean, I've had sponsors and I've not had sponsors. The sponsors, have always paid for the show, right? I've never come out of pocket. That was the agreement that I had with my wife. She's like, you could do this. This is great. I just don't want it to cost us money. So, you know, my initial sponsors really helped get it off the ground and take care of it of late. So daily sales tips is, you know, we're into the 400s somewhere. So that's every single day. I haven't missed a day yet. I've never had a sponsor on that show. I don't think I ever will, because they're so short. Even if I were to have a 30-second ad spot, that's like 20% of the show.
Yeah.
And that's not the experience I want. And the amount of money that I would get from that isn't worth it. I would much rather just have a clean, pure place where I can kind of pay it forward to the sales community there. And lately on Sales Success Stories, it's been more valuable to me to, rather than having a paying sponsor, to talk about the summit. And so the summit is really where the revenue does come in. I mean, that is a paid event, and that is, you know, the last couple of years has really been break even. The way I think about this, there's the original playbook, and it was kind of the path that I was already on. But I got to know a guy named Joe Polizzi. And Joe founded the Content Marketing Institute, and Content Marketing Institute creates a big event called Content Marketing World. And Joe wrote a book called Content Inc. And it's really the playbook that I follow. And what he says is most businesses are built backwards. Most businesses think, oh, I've got this idea. I'm going to create this thing, and then I'm going to go try and sell the thing. Mm-hmm. Well, they create the thing and they can't successfully sell it, and game over, right? That's why the majority of businesses fail. He said, what if you turn that around? What if instead you created an audience? And then, and so he obviously, he's a content guy. He recommends that you create an audience by creating great content that people are attracted to.
Yeah.
So he says, okay, then once you've got that audience, why don't you ask the audience what they want? And then deliver that. And then by doing that, you already have your buyers and your market built in. So your odds of success are significantly higher. And so my approach in all of this has been, I'm just in this amazing position. I make great money through my day job. I don't need the cash, and I can be extraordinarily patient. So for me, this is really about just continuing to grow the audience, to create great, super valuable content that serves the community. And they tell me what they want. And the summit is one of those things. You know, it was really, Scott, you get to hang out and talk to these people. They wanted to be able to talk to each other. And the folks that are listening to the podcast, like you, wanted the opportunity to meet them. I went, okay, that I can do. That I can absolutely do. And then that's just sort of continued. And, you know, at some point I'll probably make the transition, and I'll go into sales success all the time. The problem is, you know, my bar is pretty high. You know, it would have to throw off some pretty good cash to make sense for me to leave a well-paying sales job. So, and I think that's great. It's a wonderful position to be in, because again, I get to be patient and I don't have to do anything because I'm chasing a dollar. I get to do what's right for this community and for my audience. And that's why there's no sponsors on Daily Sales Tips, because that's not the right thing to do.
Yeah, so many takeaways. I do think you're completely right. A lot of people do try to have the idea first before building that audience. And, you know, it's much harder to get the audience, right? People have billions of ideas, but most of them don't work out, right?
Right, exactly.
if there's a proven track record, then it's like, all right, then I could double down on that versus like, not sure how this is going to work out. Let's try. And then people put a lot of resources into it and then it ends up just not working out.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I mean, that's why you get these massive failure stats and, you know, whatever it is, 80 or 90% of businesses fail in the first 5 years kind of stuff.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I've learned a lot today, Scott. I really appreciate you coming on. I was always, you know, really curious because I feel like, you know, you've consistently have quality content like all the time. And I think quality content is tough, right? I think there's a lot of sales podcasts out there that you listen to, you're kind of like, yeah, like, I feel like I didn't really learn anything new, you know, but I feel like every time I listen to yours, I'm always like, wow, like I can actually implement that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
My team. And then people are like, where'd you hear that? You know, so it's honestly helped. I would say your podcast is one of the big reasons how I got into LinkedIn, right? Cause I think like it helped me become a really good SDR. It helped me be able to just like even little things. And so thank you so much, Scott. I really appreciate you.
Yeah. Thanks for coming along for the journey and, you know, telling folks about it and being a fan for as long as you have been and just being an active part of the community. I mean, that's what it ultimately comes down to, right? This becomes more powerful the more people really engage with it and become a part of it. I mean, it's one thing to listen and be passive. It's a whole different thing. And you've done it since super early on. I mean, you're the guy who I'd interview somebody and you would reach out to them and you would have a conversation with them.
Yeah.
Everybody else out there, thousands of people that listen had that same opportunity, but you're the guy that did it. And you're one of very few.
Yeah, it is surprising actually. Like I do reach out and then, yeah, it's surprising because a lot of people are like, wait, you reached out to them? Like, you know, but I'm like, what do you mean? Like, why would you not reach out to them?
Exactly. Exactly. So thanks for playing the game, man. It's been fun. I've always enjoyed our conversations and just the work that you do. So keep it up.
Yeah. Thanks, Scott. I feel like this is really cool because I do have a lot of friends that have the idea like, oh, I want to start my own podcast one day and all that. So I'll definitely refer them this episode because I feel like it is like what your motto makes so much sense. But I think a lot of people are just afraid of doing it.
Yeah, totally. Totally. You just have to do it. You just, you know, it's, man, you pushed another button. We're going to just go for another hour here. Early in my sales career, I was one where I felt like I had to have it figured out. Like I was so strategic and I'd talk to everybody and I felt like I'd have to have this perfect plan, this perfect script, this perfect thing before I'd go execute it. And that was so wrong. You know, and it took me a long time to figure this out, but I learned the best from just bashing my head against the wall. Like just do it. Like realize that it's going to suck the first time that you do it, but you're going to learn more from sucking and messing it up than you are thinking about it and trying to have it right from the first time. And so whatever that is, right? Whether that's pick up the phone or send that email or, you know, whatever you're doing in that process or starting the podcast, like forget it. Yeah. Like don't worry about the fact that you're going to suck the first 10 episodes, just do them.
It's funny you mentioned that because that's exactly what happened. Cause I would like my first 10 episodes, like I would listen to yours and then I would listen to mine. I'm like, oh my God, this is garbage. And then I kind of stopped actually for a while. Cause I was kind of like, oh, like this is not up to par, you know? But then like, you know, after a while I'm like, all right, like I'm sure he did like, he's getting better every single time. Like your last two episodes were amazing. Right. And it took you that long to get to that point where I was like, dude, this is like phenomenal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like all your episodes were good, but I definitely noticed like lately they've been like fire. Like the one with Brandon, I'm just like, wow, this is like amazing. You know?
Yeah. So, well, and I'll tell you, I cheated because I knew that I had this, the Sales Success Stories podcast concept in my head. I started another podcast first, actually funded by my previous company, where I started, you know, I wrote a book and I started interviewing the folks that had contributed that to that book, and then started doing other interviews because I knew I wanted to do this and I knew that I was going to suck. And so I basically leveraged that opportunity, one, to fund my education. Right, I was able to expense my microphone and expense some of the learning, and I did some of my own editing, which is its own learning experience. What I learned from that is don't ever do that. Pay somebody else to do it. And so I got the bad radio out. And then, so that's why when I did the very first episode of Sales Success Stories, that was probably my 30th podcast episode. So it didn't start bad because I'd already done the bad work somewhere else. I think the same thing applies to LinkedIn. Like if you're going to start posting on LinkedIn, here's the beauty. When you start and you suck, nobody's paying any attention anyway.
Yeah.
Right? So like as you're in those early stages of building the audience, which takes a long time, you can get all of the garbage out. So by the time you have a legit audience, you've got legit content.
This is so exciting. I can't wait for us to have like another conversation in the future. And then, you know, I'm at a point where, and then I'm like, see, I just kind of did what you did and look at me now. Right. So
That's it. You just gotta keep at it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Scott. I really, really appreciate you. And, you know, I think this is a really inspiring conversation, and yeah, I really enjoyed our time together.
My pleasure, man. Thanks for having me on.
Take care. Cheers.
Well, that's it, folks. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Please subscribe and let me know what your thoughts are. If there were any takeaways, I welcome all positive and constructive feedback and hope you enjoy.
Enjoy.
Stay tuned for more interesting stories and guests. Take care.